tonight, chemical attack horror, children gasping for air, Assad blamed for a grisly massacre on its own people, one of the deadliest of its kind in Syria's six-year civil war. Russia investigation diversions, first a wiretap claim without evidence, now the Trump administration accuses Obama's national security advisor of dirty tricks. Susan Rice fires back, only to NBC News. Advertisers revolt on Bill O'Reilly. At least a dozen companies pull their ads following complaints of sexual harassment. Your internet privacy rules rolled back. Internet providers allowed to sell your browsing history without your permission. Tonight, how to shield your information. And front lines here in South Korea. We're with the Americans who could be called into action. Nightly news begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from South Korea.
Good evening from Osan Air Base, where we've learned just moments ago from South Korean officials that North Korea has fired a projectile believed to be a ballistic missile into the East Sea, also known as the Sea of Japan. As we showed you last night, those launches are typically identified and tracked here on this base. This move highlights how tense things are in this region and why American troops remain at a high state of readiness. We spent time with some of them today. We'll have more on their training in just a moment. But our top story tonight takes us to another trouble spot overseas, Syria. The world reacting with horror and revulsion to the apparent poison gas attack that has killed dozens of civilians and sickened dozens more, many of them small children. The White House is tonight pointing the finger of blame at Syrian President Assad, but also calling out the Obama administration, suggesting if it had stood up to Assad during its watch, this might not have happened. Now the question is President Trump willing to step in? A word of caution, there are some upsetting images in this report. Richard Engel has the latest.
These disturbing images taken just after the explosion. Witnesses say it was a chemical weapons attack, and in the video it appears to bear all the hallmarks. This boy using all his strength just to breathe. First responders doused the victims with water, stripped off their clothes to wash off what they said was a chemical weapon. Medics and volunteers in this rebel-controlled part of Syria rushed the injured to local clinics. They claim Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's regime fired the banned chemical nerve agent, sarin.
The gas attacks are continuing every day, and no one is doing anything to stop these gas attacks.
Other victims were taken to a makeshift clinic built in a cave to protect it. There, a father kissed his daughter goodbye. Nearby, this activist was recording what he was seeing, saying warplanes were still overhead. Then, hospitals are often targeted in this war that respects no conventions. Amazingly, the activist survived. In 2013, the U.S. threatened war when more than 1,000 people were killed in another alleged chemical attack. President Obama had warned the use of chemical weapons would cross a red line. But when Russia brokered a deal, a U.S. military response never came. In a statement on today's attack, President Trump said these heinous actions by the Bashar al-Assad regime are a consequence of the past administration's weakness.
A U.S. intelligence official tells NBC News tonight, while details are still coming in, it appears this was actually a chemical attack. The Syrian army denies it used chemical weapons. Lester?
Richard Engel tonight, thank you. Turning back home to the drama over the Russia investigation and what critics are calling repeated attempts by President Trump and the White House to deflect attention away from it. Their latest target, former Obama National Security Advisor Susan Rice. And now Rice is firing back exclusively to NBC's Andrea Mitchell, who has all the details for us.
For more than a month, it's been the tweet that's loomed over the president. Without any evidence, Mr. Trump tweeting, "Terrible, just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower," a charge immediately shot down by Republicans.
At this point, have you seen any evidence that Trump Tower was wiretapped? See no evidence whatsoever.
No such wiretap existed.
Even a rare rebuke from the FBI director.
I have no information that supports those tweets.
James Comey also dropping a bombshell. The FBI is investigating whether Trump associates colluded with Russia in its election year hacking. Then another White House attempt to divert attention from Russia, say critics. The House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes claiming he's seen intel that Trump transition officials were swept up in legal surveillance, leading the president to say he felt vindicated.
I somewhat do. I must tell you, I somewhat do.
But Nunes walks back his charge, and the New York Times reports the information he used came from the White House. And tonight, a new focus. The White House going after Obama National Security Advisor Susan Rice for requesting the names of Trump officials accidentally collected by surveillance be revealed or unmasked. Rice responding to us exclusively tonight.
We only do it to protect the American people, to do our jobs in the national security realm.
Now she's under fire from Republican critics.
I believe Susan Rice abused this system, and she did it for political purposes. She needs to be brought in and questioned
under
oath.
Okay, you believe, did you seek the names of people involved in, to unmask the names of people involved in the Trump transition, the Trump campaign, in order to spy on them,
absolutely,
in order to expose them?
Absolutely not for any political purposes to spy, expose anything.
But did you leak the name of Mike Flynn?
I leaked nothing to nobody, and never have and never would.
Former intelligence officials say all this takes critical focus away from the Russia investigation.
I think it is a distraction to go down all of these other alleys, and it won't in the end lead to an answer to the primary question.
And tonight, members of the House Intelligence Committee say Rice is almost certainly to be called as a witness in a widening and now highly politicized investigation. Lester.
Andrea Mitchell, tonight, after being left for dead in Congress, the White House is trying to revive a plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. It comes after President Trump pondered leaving Obamacare to, in his words, explode. His administration is trying again to reach a deal, but how far are they willing to go to win over holdout Republicans? NBC's Hallie Jackson has details.
Vice President Pence today rallying Republicans to resurrect a health care deal, a new framework rising from the ashes less than 2 weeks after the original crashed and burned.
The president and I remain confident that working with the Congress, we will repeal and replace Obamacare.
So what's the strategy now? Offer to let states ask permission from the government to allow insurers to charge sick people more money to keep costs lower for healthier people. No one could be denied insurance outright, but it may effectively gut the promise of protection for people with pre-existing conditions.
I think this is a Hail Mary pass to bring this legislation back, and it will be, in fact, much more of a radical proposal than the first one.
It's a nod to the political pressure Republicans face to do something on health care, and an olive branch to the holdouts in the Conservative Freedom Caucus, led by Congressman Mark Meadows.
I can tell you negotiations are going on at an extremely fast clip. Is there a vote scheduled? The answer is no. Is there even a consensus that a vote should be scheduled? The answer is no.
I don't want to put some kind of an artificial deadline because we're at that conceptual stage.
The president today not mentioning health care to members of a builders union.
And it was about time we had a builder in the White House.
Sticking to his construction comfort zone instead.
Hello, Ivanka.
As his daughter keeps her focus on women in the workforce on equal pay day.
Well, my father wants to create 25 million jobs in this country, and women need to fully participate for that to be realized.
The vice president tonight will be back on the Hill again for more health care talks, but Speaker Paul Ryan won't be there. Assigned House leaders may be letting members work this out on their own. The sense from talking with GOP sources is nobody wants to get out over their skis by promising a plan or a timeline that's not realistic. Lester?
Hallie Jackson at the White House tonight, thank you. The backlash this evening is growing against Fox News star Bill O'Reilly. A slew of advertisers, including some very big names, said today they're pulling their ads from the O'Reilly Factor after more complaints of sexual harassment have come to light. NBC's Ann Thompson now with the new fallout.
Bill O'Reilly is rarely at a loss for words.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks for watching us tonight.
So far, he's said nothing on his show about the growing controversy over off-screen allegations of sexual harassment.
But tonight, his advertisers are speaking with their wallets. An exodus of companies, including BMW, Mitsubishi Motors, and drug maker GlaxoSmithKline, all pulling their ads from the O'Reilly Factor. Allstate saying in a statement, inclusivity and support for women are important Allstate values. We are concerned about the issues surrounding the program, and we have suspended our advertising. Issues detailed in a New York Times report that found Fox News or O'Reilly paid five women $13 million to settle harassment and inappropriate behavior claims against the star anchor.
You've seen companies really speak about their values and their convictions, and that if they're not aligned with Fox News that they're supporting with their dollars, they're going to take those dollars away.
Late today, Fox News said in a statement, we value our partners and are working with them to address their current concerns. Earlier this week in a statement, O'Reilly said his fame made him vulnerable to lawsuits and that he acted quickly to put to rest any controversies to spare his children. His show is the number one program on cable news, pulling in more than $100 million a year in ad revenue. More than 350 brands advertised on the show in the first 3 months of this year. Tonight, at least 14 companies have changed their plans as they wait to see what, if any, changes Fox and O'Reilly will make. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
As we said at the top of the broadcast, there is breaking news here in South Korea. Word that North Korea has fired an unidentified projectile into the sea. A new provocation coming a short time after the White House said the clock has now run out and all options are on the table. All of it follows more tough talk from North Korea, calling joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises a dress rehearsal for invasion. We tagged along for some of those exercises and found American and South Korean soldiers confident as they focus on countering one of the more persistent threats this region faces.
The war being waged in this corner of South Korea today won't draw a drop of blood. Americans and South Korean troops engage in mock urban combat less than 15 miles from the DMZ, running through the playbook of a potential war that has haunted this peninsula for far too long.
We think that we would see everything from a conventional total war here. We could also experience stability operations after victories, whether it's attack an urban strong point.
As if on cue, Colonel Kleisner is interrupted by a rescue chopper swooping in to pluck mock casualties from a rooftop.
Full security on Bravo 3.
The Americans and South Koreans are taking part in an annual joint exercise that Kim Jong-un has long decried as a provocation, but what is seen on this side as a deterrent. Still, the status quo that has gingerly maintained peace is now threatened as Kim Jong-un rushes toward a nuclear missile capability.
Every war scenario runs up against the question, what about Seoul? It's expected North Korea would rain down thousands of artillery rounds on this sprawling metropolis, but it will not go unpunished.
This is the response, and it's a robust response, not only American troops, but South Korean troops working hand in hand.
The U.S. war plan is to quickly overwhelm and knock out the North's artillery threat. Mobile radar units like this will track the incoming rounds from their source even before they land.
You can't shoot what you can't see.
Exactly, sir.
And this allows you to see what's coming down and coming at you.
Yes, sir.
The eyes of a sophisticated response.
You can track 50 incoming rounds simultaneously.
Yes, sir.
That's a lot.
Yes, sir.
The tracking information is rapidly passed to crews of mobile multiple rocket launch systems like this, the fangs of the response, who quickly aim and fire right back at the source.
This is a very important drill for us to go over and rehearse as many times in different scenarios as possible.
This is what it would look like in action for real. The fact that troops train within a few miles of where they would fight is not lost on them.
How does it change the soldiers?
They've driven out there. They've done communications checks from there. They've made sure that they've got all the visibility they need from there. It gives us a sense of purpose.
Like the airmen here at Osan Air Base, American soldiers here in South Korea are hoping their preparation and readiness will give North Korea pause. Still ahead tonight, your internet browsing history up for sale, the repeal that makes it legal without your permission, and what to do if you fear for your privacy. President Trump has signed a new law that rolls back internet privacy rules that were passed under the Obama administration. No longer will internet providers be required to get your permission before selling your internet browsing history to marketers. But will your internet surfing really be fair game? Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
The last time you shopped online for a pair of shoes, did the ads follow you for days or even weeks? Well, your internet provider knows far more about your browsing habits than Google, Facebook, or Amazon. And now that provider can legally sell that information without your permission. Privacy advocates are so outraged, Adam McElhaney has raised over $200,000 on a GoFundMe page to buy the internet histories of members of Congress who passed the law.
And I think that really sends a signal that people are very upset that their data is not theirs anymore.
But it's unlikely internet companies would ever sell personal browsing histories because they're still required to protect customer privacy. Presumably names, addresses, social security numbers. Only anonymous browsing information could be sold. But privacy experts warn that may not be enough.
Somebody with a sophisticated program and algorithm could find out who you are just by these breadcrumbs that are lying around about you on the internet.
The nation's biggest internet providers insist they're committed to protecting customer privacy because we value their trust. But if you're still concerned, security experts suggest limit your web browsing to HTTPS sites. The S stands for secure. Call your internet provider and opt out of targeted marketing. And if you're really concerned, pay for a VPN, a virtual private network, which puts your web surfing in a secure bubble. But VPNs can also disable some sites like video streaming. The bottom line, most Americans will simply have to trust that their internet providers are keeping their privacy promises. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
We're back in a moment with an internet mega merger. Could it mean having to change your email address? Two big stories in the business world to tell you about. Verizon has decided to combine AOL and Yahoo under one new company called Oath. But if you have an AOL or a Yahoo email account, they're not expected to change. And Payless Shoe Source has filed for bankruptcy protection, deciding to close 400 stores as it struggles to compete with online stores. And celebrations tonight in the Carolinas. The North Carolina Tar Heels won their sixth NCAA championship in a thriller over Gonzaga, a day after South Carolina won the women's championship over Mississippi State. When we come back, North Korea's highest-profile defector in decades on living life, always looking over his shoulder. Finally, last night we introduced you to a high-ranking North Korean defector who could potentially share the deadly fate that has befallen others who defied Kim Jong-un. Tae Young-ho was the deputy North Korean ambassador to the U.K. when he defected along with his wife and sons. We met on the crowded streets of Seoul, flanked by security agents whose identities we've agreed to mask. And it's where he talked about the recent airport assassination of Kim Jong-un's half-brother and the expectation he could be next.
We are out in public right now. Are you afraid for your safety at this moment?
Oh, at this moment, I don't think so because, you know, there are, you know, many security, you know, the officers around, you know, the me. But anything can happen, you know. You see, even the half-brother of North Korean, you know, the leader Kim Jong-un was assassinated in a public place like airport, you know.
How did you react to that?
At that time, you know, when I heard that story, I was not surprised at all.
Do you think Kim Jong-un ordered his death?
Definitely, yes.
Do you think he wants your death? Do you think...
Yes.
You think he wants to kill you?
Kim Jong-un is a man with the character that anything, no matter whether it is a country or a human being, you know, should be eliminated if a country or a human being pose a kind of threat or concern to him.
So, in the United States, we would say you're a marked man.
I'm sure I'm already, you know, the mocked man.
A short while later, away from the crowds, Tay talked about the horrible price of his betrayal.
Your decision was also going to impact people you loved. You have a brother and a sister still in North Korea. What is your expectation as to what has happened to them?
I cannot definitely say to which place my family members were sent, but one thing I'm sure is that they may have been sent to either to remote areas, you know, or labor camps, or to some, if in worst scenario, they were sent to political prison camps, and all their, you know, the houses by now were confiscated by the regime.
Is that hard for you to live with?
Oh, yes, you know. So far, I cannot get rid of this kind of nightmare, you know, every night.
Tay has called, in his words, for the elimination of Kim Jong-un and holds out hope of someday being reunited with his family who are still inside North Korea. That will do it for us on this Tuesday night from Osan Air Base in South Korea. I'm Lester Holt. I'll see you back in the U.S. tomorrow night. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.